no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
From your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
All right, that's Marcus Parks. I'm Ben Kissel. Now, this guy to my left, we're not sure who he is. He seems to be coming back from the dead. He's very pale skin. He's got a nose that looks to be falling off. Weird. Is that Michael? Are you Michael Jackson? You look. He actually looks better as a corpse. You look fatter.
Simone.
Wow. Michael, how's it going? Are you in heaven or
Simone?
Are you in heaven or hell? Because I don't believe you touched those kids, so I think you're in heaven. Oh, he's in hell. Michael's in hell. Oh.
Simone!
God damn it, you're just forced to say that. They don't let him say any words. He could only say, ooh-hoo, and Shaman.
Shaman!
Okay. Well, Michael, please go back to hell. I think Satan needs his annual blowjob. With us as always.
I just imagine Michael Jackson with a brain tumor.
Yeah. Well, he seems to be handling it very
Shaman.
Well.
Shaman!
Hey, what's going on, everybody?
Henry Zebrowski is sick, everyone, and I'm coming
good.
Down with something as well.
I think it's what I have, which is just, you know.
Well, Henry's very sick, which means I'll be mildly sick, because I have a strong, strong immune system mm-hmm. because I was a disgusting, disgusting child.
It's absolutely true.
That means I won't be sick at all.
There we go. Perfect. Marcus was the grossest. I was the second grossest.
So we feel like we brought everybody to the psychological brink with the last episode.
Yeah, and thank you so much for the comments on the Facebook page.
Congratulations to everyone who got a gold star.
Indeed, congrats. Yeah.
And we delivered. Got you that gold star. Hope you enjoy it. Make it your profile picture.
You know what? As a matter of fact, that would be a wonderful, that would be a great thank you to the program, to Marcus, Henry, and myself, if you did make that your profile picture.
Also,
that would be very
nice. Also, we received
that
beautiful, I know you've been dedicating to Kevin. What's his last name, Kevin?
We just have Kevin from Chicago, who's a bit laid up at the moment.
Kevin from Chicago, your beautiful letter made me feel feelings, and that is difficult.
One would say impossible. How did it feel when you felt feelings for the first time in how long?
I imagine how a scarecrow would feel when a cold breeze blows his pants open.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I don't even...
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
Well,
yeah.
Today we... Well, first of all, at the end of... or later on in today's episode, we have a great interview with Shane Morton, who is the head of the special effects for Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell.
Today
of course,
we've decided
Henry
to
Zabrowski.
Kind of devote this to more about horror movies.
Yes.
Because another thing that we found out that Marcus did, because Marcus looked at a fucking calendar that we didn't do, so there are 5 Wednesdays in October.
What's up, October? What's up, October?
So instead of brutalizing you one more time, what we're going to do is kind of talk about some movie wrecks, get this going, and then serve it up to Shane Morton, who is my satanic brother from Atlanta.
Yes.
Everybody who is from Atlanta or from the Georgia area is touched by Satan's gracious magic.
Yes, they are.
And incredible things come out of there.
Yes, and Shane, he runs the Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse and a whole bunch of the Monstrosity Championship Wrestling. Monstrosity.
Like
Monstrosity.
Monstrosity.
Strossity.
Cross.
My tongue's getting all tied up. Anyway, let's just start with our first movie, which is actually a documentary. And if you haven't seen this yet, you have to see it because it takes place in the town where I went to university, Milwaukee. And of course, it's called the
Milwaukee.
Which means the good earth.
You know, when is that going to end, by the way? When is Alice Cooper completely redefined Milwaukee in the movie Wayne's World? Of course, it's the Jeffrey Dahmer files, and
I love all the scenes. What I like about this movie is when he goes to get the fish, and it's him just getting fish.
It's just a great scene of him getting fish, and it's wonderful. They interview the lead detective. I think we've spoken a little bit about this previously. My friend Lacey is in a scene where he steals the mannequin, which I don't actually think is a true fact about Jeffrey Dahmer. I don't recall any mannequins actually being in his apartment, but the audio that Marcus is about to play for you guys is my favorite audio from any documentary of all time, because it's Jeffrey Dahmer's neighbor realizing that at some point in her life, she ate a penis sandwich. That's my favorite kind.
I probably have two, just because, I mean, that's just Chinese food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
Bunch of rat dick.
Mm-hmm. Well, rat dick is better than human. Well, it's tough to say. Rat dick or human penis, what would you rather have?
I don't know. Ask Mickey Mouse. See how he feels. Well, and he'd be like,
really?
Shimon!
All right.
I can't believe that he's done something to someone else. It can't be.
can't be. They keep bringing all these things out of them. What are in these pots and stuff? I remember asking him, and he had told me in a pot there are penises. And then there are boxes with penises in them. And there are all these pictures of people and
penises.
Bodies. These are not living people.
Got to believe I was surprised when I saw how many penises he had in that dressing drawer.
So many penises. And then, of course, she goes and recalls a time where she went over to Jeffrey's house and he fed her when she was hungry.
He be doing all this kind of stuff right over here, right in the midst where there are all these people that you got neighbors, you got senior citizens living downstairs from you. You have people like me who is befriending you, and you are over here cutting up human bodies, eating body parts. I have eaten a sandwich from you. I have probably eaten someone's body part. How dare you do this to me?
All right, that's
it. I mean,
it's
just more like, you know, is this boar's head? That's what you got to ask always. That's what I always ask before I take a sandwich.
Yes, definitely. I mean, it's simple, but you just imagine that she loved the sandwich.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
How sad would that be if she just loved the dick sandwich and then she's like, I'll never be able to have it again.
I got to put some of that you know? Hot mustard on there.
Yep. I mean, you're only allowed to have a dick sandwich once in your life, and that's when it served you unbeknownst to you by Jeffrey Dahmer. You can't just go to your local deli and get one.
I just hate being hooked to something I can't get. It's like a cronut.
Exactly. You imagine they find out it's just nothing but human testicles are all over cronuts. It'll be a nightmare. So that's a little clip from the Jeffrey Dahmer files. Check it out if you haven't. It's really, really interesting.
It's definitely great. It's a great doc.
It is.
And again, you know, see the penises. You see a whole pot of them.
Just a pot of penises. Well, you know, it's interesting.
You don't see inside the pot with the penises in it. You just have to look at all the pots that are coming out and use your imagination.
Yes.
Is it that one? Is it that one? I don't know.
Oh, I hope that's Mama's ragu.
It's all of it. But I always thought that the penises that were in the pot were just like found on the stove, but they were all kept in his closet.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting. But,
yeah, that's where they belong. And to each thing its place. That's what my mom always used to say.
He was very organized with his penises.
So I guess we'll go with one of my choices, which is what I love to do. All right, so I've tried to do the October movie challenge and try to watch a horror movie a day.
Yes.
And I am been dismayed to find that I think I may have seen all of the good horror movies.
Yes.
I think I may have seen them. So what I've decided is to go back and see a bunch of classics that I never got to see. And this is one. It's called Madhouse. It is with Vincent Price. And the best part is there's a bunch of, like, he has a guest star. There's a Peter Cushing's in it.
Okay.
And Lon Chaney's in it. And what I love about this movie is that it really clearly defines the character making process. It's a little similar to Theater of Blood, if you know that movie. But Vincent Price is just like one of my favorites.
And
if you spark a fucking thick nug stick and stick it in your lips and choke it down, you will be very interested in whatever faces Vincent Price makes. Because he is the funniest actor.
Right.
On the face of the
planet. So before Harold and Kumar, it was Vincent Price. You watched him when you're super stoned.
Narrast me. He's great. He's great. He's the evilest man on the face of the planet.
Yeah, just watch him in The Last Man on Earth, the remake of I Am Legend.
Yes.
Because it's just him. He's like 55, and he's just the most tired vampire hunter you'll ever see.
He's tired.
It's
just him in a robe and slippers, kind of lightly skipping from one side of the house, kind of like back and forth, going like, he's like, I think they're out there. I can't really do a Vincent Price.
Right.
I think they're out there. Something.
So let's play the final monologue as his character is sitting with his dead beloved who has been murdered by someone who is basically, he plays a very famous actor in this movie who was playing a character called Dr. Death.
Ooh.
And so this is him. Basically, they have framed him for crimes, and now he's finally gone mad with grief.
Oh, all right.
So just imagine this at my house, the me saying this identical monologue, but every time you hear the word Dr. Death, it's Detective Popcorn.
Right.
Why did he take you again, Ellie. Was it because you were young? Because your eyes shone? And your lips smiled?
God, I bet his tongue tastes amazing.
Because you were.
Maybe.
Life. It wasn't me tonight, Ellie. No. For all those years ago.
Detective Popcorn.
Dr. Death. Who is Dr. Death?
Detective Popcorn.
Well, I will tell you. Herbert and I created him between us. No, we didn't create him. He was there. We found him in ourselves.
So buttery.
Found him in
so
the microwave.
We looked into the depths of our souls. And he was there. He was already there.
Thank you for finding me.
He will always be there. Who is Dr. Death? Well, I will tell you. Man is born to live. He creates life. He
we get this. Actually, I realize that this monologue then goes on for like another 9 minutes.
Right, right. But I think that's a good stopping point there.
Man was born to live.
Indeed, he was.
And he fights it. It's like a long thing about it. It's like, and he fights the urge to die, no matter how intoxicating it is. But we made Dr. Death, who loves the feeling of death.
I just want to know what happened in Detective Popcorn's life that led to such a dreadful, lonely demise. A poor guy. I thought he was going to die with a series of people all around him. I mean, Detective Popcorn...
It's so sad when people leave behind my kernels and nobody finishes the bag.
I mean, what happened, though? What went wrong? You were married. You had a couple of little popcorns. You
people
had a nice wife popcorn.
People say if you have too much of that buttery goodness, it makes your tummy hurt.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that to anybody.
What about that beautiful caramel popcorn and wife you had for a little while? What happened with her?
She died.
She died.
All right, that's Vincent Price. Man, just the greatest voice of any actor of all time. God damn, he's the best.
Yeah.
All right, Marcus, what's your first choice?
My first choice is an old movie from 1972 called Raw Meat.
Oh, yes.
Raw Meat was what it was released as in the United States. Its original title was Deathline. I'm just going to play. I'm going to start off right now just letting you guys listen to the groovy fucking opening theme
from
Raw Meat. Goddamn, I love this movie so much. It's about a family of... not even a family. I will let one of the wonderful British men explain to you the exact premise of the movie. In about 57 seconds.
This was, was this movie banned at some point?
Yes, this was banned in the UK. There were two scenes. There was one particularly gruesome scene with a shovel and another one with a broomstick and another one with a rat.
Oh, my.
It's pretty,
a shovel, a broomstick,
movie.
And a rat.
Yeah.
So, this is also going to be known as, what's the name of that autistic kid that's missing right now?
Avante
Aquino.
Yeah, it's the Avante Aquino film.
Okay, for those that don't know the reference, there's a autistic child who's been missing in Williamsburg or around the Brooklyn area, around Long Island City as well. And it's been a month-long search for him now. And I have never seen such a proactive MTA when it comes to a missing child in my life. Every
time
he's
got diamonds in his belly.
Something. I'm serious. He has some government secret. He's like Will Smith what is that? The State movie.
Enemy of the State.
Enemy of the State. He knows something.
Or like Johnny Mnemonic. That's what he is.
That's what he is.
Johnny Mnemonic. He's also an autistic kid who doesn't speak. So know like some government agent just told him everything. It was like, the secret's safe. Much like the Bush Bean family does with their dog.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, Roscoe's not talking. But then he does.
And then he does secretly.
Yes.
That's great.
And here's here is possibly what Avante is up to now.
All right.
Now, the old City and South London Company were tunneling down there in 1892 when a whole section of the roof collapsed, burying a number of men. Eight of them and four women.
Women?
Yes, they used to work alongside the men in those days. The men dug and the women hauled the dirt up to the surface, just like in the coal mines.
Get on with it, Richardson.
Well, interestingly enough, Cahoon, there was quite a scandal attached to it because the company involved went bankrupt and they couldn't afford to dig the bodies out. So they abandoned them and abandoned the whole line. But there were some old tunnelers who believed that there were air pockets down there and that they couldn't survive for some time. But the company refused to listen.
Well, how could they survive without food?
Well, there's plenty of water and food.
They eat the autistic.
I can imagine that as each one died, the others ate it.
So yes, that's what it is. It's about a bunch of workers who were working on a line in London. It collapsed.
Right.
The company couldn't afford to bail them out, so they just left them down there. And of course, years later, one of them comes back to the surface, and they keep snatching people out. And it stars one of the all-time great horror movie actors, Donald Pleasance.
Donald Pleasance!
Oh, he's the best.
And I've made a short compilation of Donald Pleasance being extremely British in this movie.
Yeah!
That's great.
Go on, Rogers. Tea! You've been using tea bags. Hop round there and see if he's a nutter. Twit.
What?
Naughty. Naughty boy.
Oh my, that's perfect. Donald Pleasance. Beautiful British accent.
So British. Yeah. Just makes me mad.
So extremely British. And it's also one of those movies where it says, with Christopher Lee, meaning he's in it for 5 minutes.
Yeah, and right. He just goes like, and they wheel him out.
That's great. This reminds me of the Chilean miners that were underground for a couple of weeks there.
Yeah, without all the chimichurris.
Yes, indeed.
That's the thing. At least the Chilean miners had some delicious empanadas down in that fucking mine with them. Not like fucking British with their blood-filled sausage and their fucking
disgusting
dog people food.
Yeah, that's one of the worst food to eat while you're stuck underground. Ugh. Blood sausage.
Just dry fucking biscuits.
Yes.
And just tea bags.
Oh, and the makeup in this movie is fucking great. It was done by Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
Not the Peter Frampton.
Like I do.
No, the Peter Frampton who went on to win an Oscar for Braveheart.
Wow, all right. The real Peter Frampton.
Yeah.
For the soundtrack to Braveheart.
Yeah, for the makeup guy to the soundtrack to Braveheart.
You feel like Braveheart.
You feel like Braveheart?
I remember that song.
Yeah.
That is funny, huh?
It is quite hilarious. let's see. I suppose for my next one, I have another documentary, but let's do the short film first.
All right.
This is this is from ABCs of Death, which is a fun thing. It's playing on Netflix. It's just a bunch of different short vignettes. It goes through A through Z and basically every letter.
I feel like this is probably one of my the better ones.
This is one of the better ones. It's hit or miss.
It's hit or
miss.
You
know, but the good ones I really enjoyed. And
T for Toilet's also great.
T for Toilet's very good. This one is called F for Fart, and you'll hear why. And Henry, we were thinking perhaps you could try to narrate because, of course, it's in Japanese subtitles. So if you want to...
I'm a Hong Kong Henry Zebrowski. It's Hong Kong.
Oh, Hong Kong.
It's China. I don't know what Japanese people say unless it's more like, oh, karate.
That's it.
Oh, kimono.
That's what they're talking about.
Oh, sushi.
Don't eat the sushi anymore, though. It's full of nuclear waste.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Nuclear?
Nuclear.
Nuclear?
Nuclear.
This is great.
Is it nuclear?
I don't know. Oh, you can tell it's Japanese because that girl's in a weird little student suit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, why do they not make a house with four walls? Why do they only make a house with a front wall?
I don't know. I guess they're sort of
that's
like
just a big thing.
Gypsies.
Because you just saw it. You see, the problem is you can't see what I'm seeing when I'm narrating it.
Girls...
Sensitive girls wouldn't be so ashamed whenever they had to fart. Good morning.
Oh, you heard me fart? She's like, oh, you know I did. I caught it in a Ziploc bag. And I put it inside of my pants. Thank you.
I guess that's where you put farts, huh?
One girl's making fun of the other for farting. Now there's four.
Oh, they're singing a chorus. What I love about the Japanese is that they have... so many activities.
Oh, yeah.
That they do. So many hobbies.
They're always busy. It's a beautiful sound.
Mm.
She can't control the sense of yearning in her breast.
Yeah.
Me neither.
She's in love with her teacher, Miss Yumi, who she worships as God.
This is fantastic.
This is hot stuff. A lot of guys jacked off to this one. There's
absolutely,
no doubt about
it. Yeah, especially because all the fart content.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, an earthquake.
Oh, no, it's like the earth farted. Oh, no, it's an angel.
Gas. Gas is coming. Ooh, they're holding hands now.
What gas is coming? This is another thing you could blame on fracking.
Maybe that black gas is a fart from the ass of God.
Interesting. I like the way they explain earthquakes and volcanic eruptions.
I mean, that's an old folks. That's an old folk tale as it is.
Yeah.
Where's all the farting?
There's going to be some. I mean, God just farted.
Yeah. I mean, well, technically.
I thought there was. I seem to remember more farting than I'm
well,
hearing.
Well, it's interesting when you just hear the audio, you don't hear as much farting. But they're going to get to the farting.
I mean, you'd think if you were just hearing the audio, you'd hear nothing
but
farting.
Farts.
Well, I know. When I watched the thing, I was like, there's a lot of farting in this. I mean, there's more farting than you usually see in a 3-minute clip.
Wait a second, she's zipping the back of her pants.
Oh, she's taking her pants off.
Yeah, this is where it gets hot.
Yeah, it gets really panties. Hot.
Get her a cake to fart on. Beautiful angel.
This is just, oh, wow. You know, there's just some things that they just don't do in American film.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is one of them.
Like the girl pulling down her panties and then
a woman sniffing another woman's butt, if I recall.
Oh, Miss Yumi, what a lovely behind, she says.
Here I go.
There it is.
Oh. Wow, and it's a big yellow cloud.
Christ in the fucking cross. It looks like when Ed farts.
And her head's on fire.
Yep.
Yay! Ed tells me to leave a room when he has to fart because of how bad his farts can get.
Well, now they're in space.
Yeah, they just kind of keep on farting all around.
I mean, this is more of an experimental film. This yeah. is not like... This is no not Forrest really. Gump.
It's not you Forrest know? Gump. I mean, life is not like a box of farts. It's different. But I would say that overall, it's a very interesting little short.
There's just yeah. like and not now, this a lot is nothing of context.
But this is all the farts, though. We're missing all the fart. And then she's happy.
What do you think happens when you
oh,
have
and then she
thing?
Sucks her into her butt.
Yeah, and then she gets sucked into her butthole.
Oh, yeah, and it's a big, like, embryo thing where she's inside the butt and... You should yeah. probably look at it.
Yeah, I guess it's a better thing to see. This would be not the greatest for the audio medium.
But ABCs of Death is a fun thing to look
it's
at.
It's fun. Yeah.
It's a bit too long.
Well, they got to go all the way to Z, you know? And some guys really take their time.
You were just in a possible pre-one, right? Or can we not talk
it's
about it?
It's not happening. I shot something. It's not happening. So, it doesn't matter.
Well, now they're making out in the girl's own butt, so that's something
that's
cool.
Good, yeah. I mean, I guess the farting thing is done.
It's kind of like a Garcia Lorca poem.
Yeah. Oh, now she's farting again.
Or possibly a Gabriel Garcia Marquez novel.
Yeah.
Mm.
I really thought there was more. There is a
yeah,
lot
it's
of
magic
farting.
Magic realism.
Yeah.
It's pretty brilliant. Yeah, so she gets sucked into her womb there through her butt, and then they just make out in little fart space.
Absolutely.
Which is kind of fun. You know?
You've seen it once, you've seen it 1,000 times.
Yeah,
that's my problem, is that I've already seen that movie. You know, it's called What I Do Every Day.
Right.
Fart
right.
on a Japanese girl.
Oh,
suck
yeah,
her up your
I
butt.
Suck
make
her
out
up
with.
Inside of myself. Yeah, then I make out with her inside my own butt. Mind frame.
It's a good diet plan. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, so that's ABCs of Death. F for fart.
I was going to show some... I wanted to play some of this, and then I realized it's just more just a girl... It's just a Japanese girl just going like...
Yeah, there's also the language barrier, yeah.
This is a movie called... this is from a series of films called The Guinea Pig Films.
Oh,
which
yes.
is a brutal series of torture movies that are... they're not good.
Yeah.
Like, but it's fun to see.
Yeah.
Because you never get to see it. Because I used to think it was real. There was a bunch of people who straight up thought it was real. And what you have in this scene that I was going to show you guys or have you guys listen to was a scene in which a man terrorized a woman on a table with a chicken.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's hear.
Sounds like a John Waters movie.
He just goes and he gets a bag that's got a chicken in it. And she's tied down.
That's chicken. Ooh, he's dressed like a samurai.
He is.
And then he tied me down. And...
He's waving the chicken at her. Waving
she is
the chicken
very
at
scared
her.
Of that chicken.
I mean, it was flapping her wings like all over.
Yeah.
What did she say?
Look, this is your fate.
Oh, look, it's your fate. He's got a sickle up to the chicken's neck.
He's slowly bleeding that chicken
he's just
out.
Cutting the chicken. Ah, he just cut the chicken's head off. That's the problem is that they thought this was real. People thought this was a real snuff film.
Charlie Sheen thought it was a real snuff film. He reported this to the FBI.
Yeah, Charlie Sheen was on fucking a coffin's load of blow. Yeah, and then he sprayed the chicken's blood all over it and threw it down.
I thought it was just kind of fun.
It is. I mean, really I remember. I mean, we could just play that Sarah Palin interview she gave where the turkeys were all getting beheaded behind her. Do you remember that?
Well, yeah, there are some fun tidbits about the movie, though.
Mm-hmm. There was a serial killer back in Japan.
Who was called like the Monster of Children. It was like something, some crazy nickname.
He was also known as the Otaku Murderer, the Little Girl Murderer.
The Little Girl Murderer.
And simply Dracula.
Wow. Yeah. And did he involve...
Oh, Dracula!
Very interesting. Did he involve chickens in his crimes?
No. Okay. They only... connection they had that he had to the movies was that he had all the movies in his movie collection. They call him the Otaku Murderer because he had over 5,000 movies and anime films in his library.
Yeah,
he was a sick fuck. He took a couple of pages out of the Albert Fish handbook.
Yeah,
is that he would kidnap little girls, send the family's letters detailing what he had done to the children. One parent, he sent a letter that just said, "Erica, cold, cough, throat, rest, death."
You know, it's never good to go get them. It's like bills, 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 letter from the dude who killed my daughter, bills. Oh, a postcard from Malcolm when he went to Hawaii.
His very first victim, though, that's the one that he fucked with the most. He let the body decompose in the forest behind his house first. Then he took the bones, he charred them up, put the ashes in a box, put some of the little girl's teeth in there, photos of her clothing, and then wrote on a postcard, "Mary, cremated, bones, investigate, prove," and send it on to the family.
Cool.
Oh, well, at least they
he would also call the victims' families, call their houses, and wouldn't say anything on the phone. And he would let the phone ring for up to 20 minutes sometimes.
Yeah, just going, oh, no, you pick up phone.
That's terrifying.
That's what you get. Never pick up phone. You don't know number, don't pick up phone.
I think that's the guy who killed our daughter, huh? Isn't that wild?
Oh, no. Investigate, prove. Cold case.
Yeah, it's definitely
him. Cold throat. Domino's? Is this Domino's? Domino's pizza?
Another wrong number. Another wrong number.
Oh, so sorry.
That's fine.
So sorry, I meant to go with Domino's.
Wonder what you would get in your order if that's how you did it.
Meat robbers.
You want meat lovers. I can get you some. Do you want some child meat on that as well?
Cold throat. Investigate, prove.
You what? You know, I'm making minimum wage over
you
here.
You wreck my gift, eh? I send it to you. I'm wasting minutes.
That's good. I got a track phone. You're really fucking me over here.
Is that Michael Jackson?
Yeah, it sounds like
it.
Yeah,
he's over there.
He's back from hell. Hello, Michael. How are you doing?
Boo!
Wow.
Yeah, that just sounded like the Moonwalker video game.
Boo!
Michael!
That was a weird game.
It was.
Well, it's a strange game because it's a strange video for Smooth Criminal and things as well, which I think the game is based off of, where he's defending a bunch of kids from a monster.
There's a thriller level in plot of the game is to rescue children, mostly from trunks of cars.
Michael Jackson was a real smooth criminal.
He was, sort of. Yeah, he made a video game where he rescued children and brought them back to his mansion, where they had lived and had wonderful lives.
When he rescued them, that's when Bubbles the monkey came with a light. And they would ride the broom light away.
Yes, yes, of course. That was brilliant.
Wow,
okay,
that
Marcus.
That is really bad.
That is bizarre, yes. Marcus, what's your next movie?
My next movie is also a foreign language film.
We really did not choose wisely.
No, I thought about this one.
Okay.
I thought about this. The one that I chose was Wreck.
Love this movie.
Yeah. Love this movie. Possibly my favorite found footage movie.
Oh, by far, but one of the best. Besides, honestly, I mean, you know, I still love the first Paranormal Activity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this one is fucking great. It's a Spanish movie. It's about a TV presenter who follows a fire crew for a night. And they remade it in the United States as Quarantine.
Quarantine. It's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
Quarantine
but
was...
this movie has fucking everything. It's got, you know, your zombies.
Yeah.
It's, of course, got the occult angle, which the Catholics do like nobody's business.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
nothing better than an occult movie from a Catholic country.
That's for us.
Yeah, it's for us. Yeah.
They seem to know what they're doing with it. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, and the great thing about this movie is that the sound itself is fucking fantastic. I just want to play like one clip from a movie where they're starting to freak out and something unexpected falls from the top floor.
What are you saying? What are you saying? No idea what's happening.
That is the sound of a body falling from three floors up.
They do really
like
good.
Yeah, it sounds like a Looney Tune anvil falling on Wile E. Coyote's head or something.
Yeah, it's fucking great. Like this is another clip from it where they've found an old woman in zombification.
Zombification.
Señora, estése quieta. Señora.
And they also do Scary Little Girl better than anyone has ever done Scary Little Girl.
Again, same thing with Let the Right One In, where it's like, you don't need CGI. You don't need it.
You literally need to work and actually find a good little girl actress.
Yeah.
That helps immensely.
Listen to this little girl scream. She has the best scream.
La infección puede ser el perro y que se transmite a través de la saliva. Si eso es así...
Wonderful. I love it so much.
I want that as my ringtone.
Oh,
that would be perfect.
Screaming?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People love it.
Mm-hmm. Marcus is rock hard right now.
Yeah. You're not going to have the police. Not like there's 25 cops in front of the store right now for one screaming kid.
I'm going to find all the pedophiles who get off on that stuff. I'll go dick check, make sure no one's hard if somebody calls me.
You see, that's
a good
where
technique.
It gets weird. Where you're going to play the sound of a screaming child and then dick check random men.
Yes.
To see if they're hard or not.
You know, honestly. It wasn't that.
Check out your dick. Hey, buddy, dick check.
Dick check. You're all soft here. We're all soft here. Got a hard one.
I've been sucking on this pedophile's dick for about 5 minutes now, and he hasn't gotten hard once.
So,
all right, so he's a pedophile.
So he's one of them, because obviously I'm a full-grown man.
I'm a full-grown man, like and I can suck a dick like I'm the devil himself.
That actually just got officially outlawed. That was a technique that was done in the United States and across the world.
Yeah,
they would try to fluff people out.
I think we even talked about it on this podcast, where they would tie a sort of like weird... The meter, it's like a string around the head of a penis, and then they showed them pictures of kids eating bananas and getting sprayed with hoses and shit like that.
It's officially outlawed, though.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have one more. This is another documentary. It's on Netflix. It's streaming. Check it out if you've got a little bit of time. The camera work is mildly upsetting. The direction isn't the best.
It's a little heavily art directed.
Well, he just zooms in on this fella, Mr. Otero's forehead multiple times, and he's just a bad director. But it's I Survived BTK, and... it's interesting. My favorite part about it is the courtroom stuff where the Otero family, obviously that's the family that BTK killed, I believe first.
First, yeah.
It's and, the little boy that got away.
Started off with a bang.
Yes, and so they got the courtroom situation, so I think we'll hear a little bit about...
he's like not all together now either, you know?
No, he ruined his family.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I'm not the funny thing, but the thing is, these people are always just like, they're
the
like...
super hilarious thing about it.
This is right up there with the original Dumb and Dumber, as far as jokes. the family is testifying at his trial, and they're like, we survived, you didn't ruin us, but the entire family was ruined, and they
ruined.
Barely survived. Yeah. So BTK definitely destroyed their lives. But this is from the trial.
Yeah, no one's going to Discovery Zone this weekend.
No, they all actually kind of ended up on meth or in prison, or both.
Although we have never met, you have seen my face before. It is the same face you murdered over 30 years ago, the face of my mother, Julie Otero. Just recently, I realized that I could not remember my mother's voice. It was a painful discovery. But as I put my thoughts on paper, it comes to me. I am my mother's voice, and I know we've been heard.
My name is Charlie Otero. I am not here to recant the personal loss I have felt for over 30 years, but to speak for all the members of my family, living and dead. Not only my siblings and I, but the entire families of the Oteros and the Burgoses suffered from the actions of one Dennis Rader. Dennis Rader did not ruin my life, though. He caused me to challenge my faith, change my future forever, and separated me from the rest of my loved ones for over 30 years. Yet I have never allowed his actions to send me to the dark side.
I mean, he was in prison for a long time.
A son's love for his mother would not allow Dennis Rader to tarnish her memory. The lessons I learned from my father and mother transcend the evil doings of Dennis Rader. Despite Dennis Rader's efforts to destroy my family, we survive, stronger and closer now more than ever. As far as I'm concerned, when it is all done, Dennis Rader has failed in his effort to kill the Oteros. Thank you.
And now Dennis has a retort, and it's the most egotistical, insane thing that you
can. Joseph Otero was in the Air Force. I was in the Air Force. He was a husband. I was a husband. Julia Otero was a lot like my wife, a loving mother.
Two people he killed.
Raised kids. And she also worked at Coleman. Josephine. She would have been a lot like my daughter. That age, played with her Barbie dolls. She liked to write poetry. I liked to write poetry.
We know, bro.
Yeah, the poetry.
She liked to draw. I liked to draw. Someone mentioned that she would like peas in a pod. And I think that probably comes to Wichita Eagle Beacon. That down. Give it credit to them. Joseph Earl, too. He was just like me at one time, a boy and a dog. And again, that comes from the Eagle.
What a fucking dickhead! What a dickhead!
Many, many memories. No, the dog. Excuse me.
Oh, he's sad about it. Is he sad? Why is he even talking like this?
Anyway, I had a lot of memories as a kid with my pets.
All right, that's it. So basically, he just talks about how that could have, like, he just tries to relate to
he's
the people
like
that he murdered and to the family that he destroyed in this super insane, like, I mean, how out of touch are you with how these people feel about you to have much of an ego to, you know, try to empathize and sympathize and try to put yourself in their shoes after what you did.
It's ridiculous. He's like a Scrooge McDuck.
He is. There's no way that he could ever understand the common man, you know. Certainly not. So check out that I Survived BTK. There's
another good one is The Real Amityville is a great
one. Oh, that's a great one too. Yeah. It's just another example of these people being irrevocably just fucked up.
Yeah.
Really
by
fucked
these
up.
Things.
Yes.
Oh, and the last thing I'll say, it's like on Netflix right now, there's a movie called Mom and Dad, which was surprisingly, refreshingly disgusting, and I hope that you could watch it, enjoy that. Of all the garbage I watched this fucking month, Terror Tract is garbage. Resolution is garbage.
The Corridor, I had a great honor of watching
garbage.
That piece of shit.
So much bullshit!
What was the one, Marcus, that I sort of
Rites
enjoyed?
Rites of Spring.
Rites
God,
of Spring. I didn't think
awful.
It was. I didn't think it was
okay.
That bad. I mean, I watched The Corridor first.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so the right. Rites of Spring is a goddamn Oscar nominee compared to The Corridor.
I mean, the monster was fine and all that.
They've also added a great movie on Netflix called Malevolence.
Malevolence. Best to say, Malevolence.
Yes.
Marcus, do you have one last movie recommendation?
One last movie recommendation. It is the sequel to one of the best horror movies of all time. And it is, I will say, without a doubt, the number one Texas horror movie of all time.
Ah, yes, of course.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Dose.
Starring Dennis Hopper. My God, it's so great. Here, let's just go ahead and hear a little bit from Mr. Hopper right now.
That was 14 years ago, sir, way down in South Texas. Now, these are other kids. This is just an accident. Just a couple of wild punks out raising hell. Yep. One of those boys so wild sawed his own head off going 90 miles per hour.
Huh. Whoa. Wild.
Hell. Hell's exactly what they raised.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it
this is.
Is
one of those movies that goes, it's one of those that just goes from, yeah, to fucking stop why. It's great.
I haven't seen Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 in a long time.
It is fucking great. Dennis Hopper plays the uncle of Frank and Sally.
Yes.
Who he's been searching for the Texas Chainsaw Massacre family for 14 years. If you want to see a bumbling, lovesick Leatherface... It's got that. I mean,
oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
If you want to see Otis in his Otis from House of a Thousand Corpses in his very first movie, he plays Chop Top. He has the famous line:
"Get that bitch, Leatherface! Get that bitch! Dog will hunt."
If you're a Primus fan, you know that one.
Dog will hunt,
and it's got him saying such lines as this:
"Leatherface, you bitch! Look what you did to my Sonny Bono wig, dude! can't believe it.
He sounds like Yosemite Sam.
Yeah, Leatherface falls in love. If you've ever wanted to hear what Leatherface having sex is like, this is a girl who is, she takes the tact that no one has ever taken against the slasher, trying to fuck him.
I thought there was a boom mic in my bedroom last night.
She just keeps saying, "How good are you? How good are you?" And it just whips him into a frenzy.
Hey, Otis, not now.
I know, Otis, I'm trying to get it.
You. Really?
He's probing her legs with the chainsaw this whole
time.
Are
you really? Really? Good?
God, I feel bad for Maura. You know what I mean? There's like certain people that just... This makes me think of. You know?
You're really good.
Hirsch. Sounds like me eating Indian food last night.
Yeah. Oh, no. This is the most. This is more disturbing than the 911 calls. And that's how he comes.
And that's Leatherface blowing his load.
There it is. All right. That's brilliant. Now, a lot of people, it's a very controversial move you've chosen here, going with Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
It's fun. It's a good movie.
It's a fun movie.
It's really fun. Tom Savini did the makeup for it, so
best,
all the gore is fantastic. Dennis Hopper said it was the worst film he ever made.
Ah, well, you know, he made a... I mean, even his good films were not necessarily very good. He also did Super Mario Brothers, so you can...
That's the worst one, Dennis.
Yeah.
Let's get real here. Let's get real here. Anyway, all right, so we're going to do an interview here. That's what we got lined up.
Absolutely.
Speaking of Tom Savini and special effects, this guy blows Tom Savini out of the water. His name is Shane Morton, and he is the guy who did all the special effects for Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, and he covered Henry Zebrowski in a bunch of beautiful demonic goo.
My sweet tits.
Yeah, this is a great interview, and I guess, let's just throw it to Shane now. All right, we're going to welcome Shane Morton to the show. Shane, thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Shade, you've worked with some of the greats. You've worked with Rob Zombie, and of course you've worked with Metallica, and then you've also worked with Henry Zebrowski on Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell. Shane, tell us, obviously you're a special effects artist to the stars. What was it like buttering up Henry Zebrowski to make him look as he actually is on the inside, to make him look like a demon?
You know, we got to know each other very intimately.
Very intimately.
Because it's not just painting him red, it's keeping him red and keeping every little bit of shading perfectly shaded. And, you know, the insides of his ears, the insides of his nostrils, everything, you know, and we're constantly touching him up and prodding him. And,
well,
you know, it's good that he likes us and that we like him, because when you've got to be that close to somebody, you know, for sometimes, you know, 12, 16-hour days.
Yeah, I don't know what lottery you lost to have to do that job, but it sounds like a living nightmare. What was your favorite body part of Henry to paint?
I don't know. I'm going to probably go with nostrils.
Really? Why is that?
I'm going to go with nostrils. There's a little furry thing going on around there that you got to be careful of. It's a challenge.
We talked about that for a while too, about how like a lot of special effects guys they forget about details like that, the inside of the ears and up inside the nostrils, and like if you break that, if you don't color those parts, you're gonna see the end of the makeup.
Yeah, you're gonna see it.
Yeah, when that sucks.
And that shoot was so slapdash, and you know, we were trying to perform miracles for very little money and very little. Set up time and everything. So it was.
Are you telling me the Cartoon Network and Adult Swim didn't have you guys drinking champagne and sleeping on gold couches. I'm shocked to know a cable
network. If you're working with Cartoon Network, you're getting the champagne. But
it's Adult Swim.
It's a little. They're like the retarded kid they keep in the basement over there. Yeah.
Keep them tied up.
He's the popular one that's got all the good stuff going on for the family, but he's a hidden.
Yeah,
I mean, hidden gem. Yeah,
that's the thing. Cartoon Network has the girlfriend with a nice job, and Adult Swim has the girlfriend with a rope for a belt, which is kind of exciting. So, how long have you been doing special effects and makeup for?
Well, since I was 3 years old, I've been doing this stuff. Ever since I saw King Kong, I was just totally obsessed with it. But professionally, I've been doing it for 25 years now.
Do you have any, is there any moment in your life where you're like, this is officially the worst shoot I've ever done? I can't believe that I'm here. I'm living a nightmare.
I try not to get involved in stuff like that.
That's it. You're really good about that. That was what you were talking about. It's like whatever bullshit. It's really just about the process, because it's right. Like a lot of times we had a lot of awesome conversations just basically about like how things were going to look and how things were like the ideas behind stuff. Like all the set bullshit,
right,
is a waste of time.
So what was one of your favorite makeup special effects moments?
For a pretty face,
or for just life in general?
Well, I gotta say, the nastiest, most gruesome thing ever was Satan shitting into Henry's mouth. And everybody freaked out about it and thought that it was just the most insane thing they'd ever seen, and how did I do it? And all I did was take the brownies off the craft service and put them in a bag and squeeze them out.
Oh, that's hilarious. So when Henry came up to you, be like, someone ate all the brownies. You were like, oh, you'll get the brownies at some point. Don't worry about it, Henry.
But it looked like, you know, it looked like real turds with nuts and corn chunks in it.
All straight.
So gross, so bad. And poor Henry's in this alcohol-based makeup, so it won't move off of his face while he's submerged in this murky, yucky toilet water we had mixed up. And, it was fully submerged in this tub that we had. But when you took a step back from the set, because everybody on there, like even like the lowest person, PA, was sneaking into this set to watch this shoot. It looked like some kind of torture porn from some weird gulag somewhere.
Henry, how did it feel? How did it feel having Satan simulate shitting in your mouth?
Well, also, I've said it time and time again, and the doing pretty face is my favorite thing I've ever done, and it's like it was the best. But what happened was I was suspended, because you remember they covered me in green screen cloth, and then hovered me inside this tub that was filled with liquid, and they fastened my legs up to a C-stand so that I would hover in the water.
Jesus.
And after they got done squeezing the shit on me, which Shane did with fucking beautiful lumps. Because number one, this shit was delicious.
Good job, Shane.
It was delicious. And then the second one was, but when I emerged from the water, people were so happy with how it went that everyone was like clapping and stuff and having like it was coming out of it. But I had a severe mushroom flashback coming out of it that I literally felt like I was going, because I had a mushroom, I had a moment on mushrooms when I was on stage at the Creek here one time, that like I had this like weird thing about performing in Valhalla, that I was like performing in the Hall of the Dead.
In the hall.
Yeah. And when I came out of the water, it felt like I was emerging from death.
Yeah. It's probably more like surviving a near-death experience kind of thing. It's like altered states. You had a William Hurt altered states moment.
Which was pretty sweet.
Where you came out of the deprivation tank and you were changed forever.
Well, now Shane, you're working on a new movie, Dear God No.
This is the movie it came out. This came out 2 years ago, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it came out 2 years ago. We just wrapped our new movie last night.
Oh, nice. What's the name of that?
At 5 a.m., Johnny and I have done an Atlanta zombie apocalypse movie.
Oh, nice. And for those that don't know,
that we do here, we're doing like the first like meta haunted house.
Oh, that's a fucking great idea.
Yeah, well, the script for the show, I'm really not allowed to talk about it because we've still got 2 weeks to run this thing. But the script was so good, we decided to pump it up and shoot a movie, and we called Every Favor. And as psychotic as my schedule is during October, like, I signed this contract with Six Flags where I do my monster wrestling on the weekends in a day. Then I run over, I put 100-plus zombies in makeup, and we run this crazy show at night. And then on the days off, we've been shooting this movie, and it looks amazing. Like, it is so beautiful. I mean, it looks like Baba shot it, because it all takes place in a haunted house.
Nice, and that's Monstrosity Championship Wrestling that you run.
This is what he runs through Six Flags, and then he also does the Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse, which I plugged on the last podcast Facebook page, which is one of the most incredible. I mean, I still haven't. I'm going next week. So it's like, it's one of the most incredible looking, immersive horror experiences that you can have. And it was said that if you're in Atlanta right now, you should check it out.
Definitely.
Because you got 2 weekends left, right?
Yeah, I mean, we had a guy fly in from Tokyo, Japan the other day to see it. Like, it's Japan and New Zealand. Like, people have come from all over the world to see this thing. Because
well, he probably found out about your work through that Satan shitting on Henry scene. He was like, I got to go meet that Shane guy. That poo-poo stuff was amazing.
I wish that we could, that the world could have seen that shit scene.
I think they're gonna. You know, we're talking about the DVD.
Oh, the scene didn't make it to air.
No. Because that was the whole thing.
No way.
We did the Scorsese thing that we talked about where it's like you give them too much, so then when they cut up on stuff they think that's inappropriate, they then will take the most obvious thing and leave a bunch of other stuff.
So the scene where you're getting urinated on, it was either that or Satan shitting on you, and they're like, okay, we'll do the clean pee-pee version.
Which is also dumb, too, because you had to make fake piss, but you couldn't make it yellow.
No. Actually, we weren't allowed to make any color in the bathroom resemble any color that could come out of a human body. Standards and practices hit us so hard on that bathroom set that we were only able to detail stuff with blue.
They needed to read everybody poops.
Well, then we're not going to detail at all, and we're just going to have the only room in hell that's spit, you know, spotless clean is going to be the bathroom.
Bathroom, which is ludicrous because hell's bathroom should be covered with spider rancid shit.
You would think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, we were ready to make it look like, you know, the bathroom and train spotting or whatever.
Right.
But,
that's hilarious.
You can only detail it with blue, shades of blue. So we were like, well, what the...
What's blue?
Well, yeah.
Shane used to also roll up every day with the car full of body parts and like latex, like a whole fucking like all these skeletons in the back of his car, just so he could do whatever.
I'm just so happy, Shane, that you got corporate to have to sit around a boardroom table and discuss the color of pee-pee and how much poo-poo can actually be in a scene. I'm just thrilled you got a bunch of suits to have bathroom talk professionally.
Yeah. Well, they do that a lot these days because they're able to, like, use these little tricky ways to get around, you know, you can have a show that is so brutal and so nasty and limbs are getting hacked off and you can do The Walking Dead, but you just don't use red blood. You use black blood or you use blue bile.
It's so ridiculous.
You can get away with this hard R gore in a PG world.
Right.
So weird.
But when you go see the Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse. I mean, that's real blood there. That's your red blood that you're using.
Well, there's all different kinds of blood. There's pus. There's, you know, depending on.
Now you're talking my language.
Yep. How long?
You know, sometimes it's blood. There's like 10 different kinds of blood. You know, is this blood spurting from a wound? Is it like deep blood that's thick and more black? We mix up so many different things. We use so many different bases. Is this blood used for this makeup? So we make it with horse lube, which is like...
With
like
what?
Horse lube.
Oh, wow.
Jelly stuff by the gallon. You know, it's ridiculous.
Man, they must think you're...
It's not KY. It's like a silicone... it's like wet, you know, like...
I would
high-end sex lube.
I would love to see your shopping cart at Walmart. I would just love to see what it's full of. It must terrify everybody.
Chris Brown ordered all this stuff. Like, I'm not going to... Chris Brown has ordered so much lube on the internet that now he is, like, constantly bombarded by, like, fisting.com. You know.
Chris Brown developed.
To have Henry on him as top of the month and stuff.
You know, like. Chris Brown is one of the guys who developed all of the monster puppets for Pretty Face, and he also like he does a lot of work in the puppet community, like in general. And he's another fucking mad genius who just whips shit out of nowhere.
Nice. So, check out Dear God No and go to the Atlanta Zombie Apocalypse. But before we end the interview, we got to get into the Freemasons.
I'd love to talk about, like, because that was a part of what Shane brought to me when we were, the part of why we got so close is that we talked a lot about, like, alternative thought, and we talked a lot about Satanism, and we talked a lot about what we were bringing to what Pretty Face is. It's like, that's a part of what we felt was important, is that Pretty Face is kind of littered with real satanic messages, and Shane actually has a huge history of that, and like, in terms of, like, you know, because your grandfather was big time in the Masons, correct?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, like my whole family has a history of this stuff, and I've got some, you know, I've got a pretty amazing collection of, like, weird occult stuff, and I've got some pretty crazy Masonic aprons that I don't even know what they're for, and people won't tell me that are, like, really into this stuff.
Were you raised in sort of a secular humanist household, or was it satanic or Catholic?
No, actually, it was satanic. Actually, my father had like a nervous breakdown in the 80s. We grew up pretty poor, and back in the mid 80s, there was like this born again movement that swept America, and he got caught up in it.
My parents
so
did
I ended
too.
Up getting like dragged through all these terrible like churches and Pentecostal stuff, and people drinking, dancing in the blood of the Lamb, and all this stuff. So I saw like, you know, all the weird angles of, you know, the garbage dump of Christianity.
Right.
Know? And I got that out of my system at a young age, you know, and thankfully, you know, so did he. But
would you describe yourself? How would you describe yourself now? As like a secular humanist, or as a Satanist, or
Well, I just had this conversation with one of my seamstresses because it freaks her out, some of the language that I use. And I told her, don't be afraid. You've just been told to be afraid of this stuff. There's no reason to be afraid of it. You know, now, when I speak publicly a lot of the time, I'll say, yeah, I'm a secular humanist, you know, and I don't believe in, you know, God or whatever, but I would prefer to say that I'm a Satanist because that's really where it lies, you know. I think that people that say they're secular humanists are kind of taking the pussy way out because
yeah,
absolutely.
You're losing all that anti that you need if you're going to proclaim yourself as a secular humanist where you're anti-religion, you're anti- God, you're anti-government, you're an anarchist, you know, and that really goes, it needs a stronger word to back it up. Secular humanism doesn't have enough balls.
No, right. It's so soft and dumb.
Satanism, it freaks people out because they've been told that Satanism means kids that, you know, listen to heavy metal and sacrifice little bunny rabbits and stuff, you know, which is as far from Satanism as you can get.
Yeah, I mean, I would definitely assume if you're a lady out there and you hear some dude's a Satanist, I mean, you're going to blow that guy. I mean, that's a strong thing
to
be.
Well, I mean, you went on that one date where you told the girl that you were a Satanist and she never spoke with you again.
That's right. But she ran a store called Cute Attack.
You know?
Yeah.
Why do you want to waste your time with people, too? You know, I'd rather, like, them know what side of the fence I'm on so I don't have to
sugarcoat.
Like, if they can't handle it, you know, like, we would get warnings all the time. Oh, there's, you know, because Henry and I, we would have some crazy-ass conversations in there about, like, I mean, and sometimes we're just being silly, you know, because we read, like, David Icke stuff, which
right.
I think is a lot of fun. I believe all of it, though. And to an extent, yeah. But, you know, we're in there talking about how Obama's a reptilian or whatever.
Right.
We're just having fun with it, but some people get, like, freaked out by this stuff. Like, even people that worked with us, I had to sit some people down because I'd end the day with a big Hail Satan, see you tomorrow.
Right.
And I had people in the art department, like, just hit the roof one day, like, church on Sunday. I can't believe I'm working on this.
It's like, but we were getting into a mental state.
You bastard, you know.
It was a mental thing. We actually, I didn't realize half the time there was a huge art strain of the art department that were really religious, and right. We were just, that was the thing, is that that's how I knew it clicked immediately, because I'm pretty certain our first conversation was just like, you literally started spray painting me, and you're like, well, you know Obama's a reptilian, and I was like, fuck yeah, I do. It's like, let's do this.
Yeah.
What's one of the...
Yeah, it's so weird, and we would be like, you know, I would question these people. I'm like, do you know what you are working on?
You know,
because that's why I lobbied so hard for this thing and worked so hard to get it. Because, damn it, I was going to be the art designer for the first satanic sitcom. You know,
definitely.
I told them that at the first meeting. I was like, you got to have a Satanist do this show.
Right.
Absolutely. I know that even Dave Willis, who created it, was talking about afterwards, where he found out I was like so wrapped up in this world as it is, that he's just like, oh, perfect. Oh, good. So I don't have to start off by like de-freaking you out. I could just like immediately be evil. And I was like, yep.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously there was a lot of Christians working on this makeup for your pretty face is going to hell. I'm not sure exactly how they validated that with their religion, but has there been anything that you've chosen not to do because of your Satanism? I mean, how does Satanism pretty much affect like everything that you do?
Well, I'm not gonna be working for Actors for Christ.
Yes, right. Yeah.
So if Jeff Foxworthy asked you to do,
the billboards are going up, you know, and it's like, I'm very picky about projects that I take and stuff, and I tend to like take stuff that or work on stuff that I've had a hand in I don't know, formulating it, so that way it has more of my stamp on it. You know, I could make a lot more money if I just poured myself out to whatever project needed a monster. You know, I'm sure there's Kirk Cameron's probably making another Doomsday epic with Satan in it. He's probably got a bunch of money that he could throw at me to have the War of the Angels, but I would rather blow my brains out than to work for that guy.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Man, it's so great to talk to you, bud. Thank you so much for doing this with us, man.
Yeah, man, thank you.
Is there anything else you want to plug?
No, not really. I mean, just like keep your eye out for, Professor Morte, and, you know, we've got all these projects we're pushing with, you know, my horror host character with the Monstrosity Championship Wrestling and my anthology film, Tales from Morning View Cemetery. The AZA movie is going to be beautiful. I mean, it looks like fucking Mario Bava lit the thing, and we are just so excited.
Fuck so, yeah. Know, and Pretty Faces. And we're still holding our fingers together. Pretty Face is going to come back. We're pretty certain that it's going to, but, you know, can't legally say these things.
We're not allowed to talk about anything, but I just got through working with Chris Kelly on something awesome. I built a bunch of reptilian aliens. I don't know if I sent you a picture of that.
You did, and they fucking rule.
That's great.
But, like, everybody's got their fingers crossed for Pretty Face because it was such a truly, the word magical, you know, comes into play when you talk about how that show came together and how everybody fit just perfectly, and the results were so fucking awesome.
Definitely. Well, I hope they pick it up, and I think they will.
I think that
they will if they know what's good for them.
Yep.
Thank you so much, Shane.
Hail Satan, man.
Hail Satan, happy Halloween.
Hail Satan, woo! Happy Halloween to you. Shane Morton, everybody.
All right.
It does seem like Shane and Henry completely terrified everybody on that set.
Oh, sounds like it.
Yeah,
I want to be there.
Yeah,
I want to be in Atlanta.
Yo,
Atlanta
fun.
Sounds great.
Yes.
Like Atlanta sounds like that's where we should be.
It's the horror capital of the country. It's amazing. We're missing it.
The Atlanta zombie apocalypse. Get there for Halloween. I believe Hong Kong Henry Zabrowski is going to be there.
I think I'm going to be there.
Yes. And all right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for listening to today's special movie episode.
And next week, we're going to raise our Dark Lord and Savior.
We're doing the seance.
From the grave.
Yep, we're going to do the seance. Do we have the... and by the way, it's the 27th, October 27th at 10 p.m. Previously reported as the 26th, so change it in your calendars. It's Sunday the 27th, 10 p.m., Creek in the Cave, last podcast on the left live.
Hell yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
Oh, yes.
Hail Satan.
All right. Hail Satan, everybody.
Hail me.
And hail yourselves.
Make your salutations.
We'll be talking to you soon. Ooh.
Shit, mountain.